This episode is brought to you by The Happy Kind. Visit thehappykind.com to find out how we can help you on your next creative project. That's thehappykind.com. Welcome to Originate Now. We're a show equipping you with strategies, inspiring you with stories, and providing a blueprint for a more intentional, creative life. I'm so glad you're here. So grab your favorite coffee or tea and let's get into today's show. Hey friend, welcome back to Originate Now. I'm your host, Jessica Higgins Chapman, but you can call me Jess. Today's episode is more personal than most and also a little, well, real. We're talking about imposter syndrome. You know, that nagging internal voice right when you're about to do something amazing saying, who do you think you are? Or this job isn't for you, or you'll never be as good as so-and-so. So, I mean, just hang it up now, right? But first, let's rewind a bit. So back in my auditioning days, yes, those awkward waiting rooms, the nerves, those unflattering fluorescent lights, I would walk in knowing my lines, super prepared, I trained, I knew I was ready. But sometimes the moment I stepped in front of that casting director or producer, something would seem to change. It was like I wasn't in it. And the worst part, I wasn't messing up because I wasn't capable. I was messing up because I was thinking too hard about how I was being judged. Every line felt like a test, every gesture under a microscope, which, you know, in an audition, it is, right? But I was stuck in my head, which is not what should be happening in an audition. On the flip side of that, improv, man, that's where I come alive, being on stage, no script, no real pressure to be perfect, just pure presence. Improv gave me the permission to trust my instincts, to create from the now. And you literally have to be in the moment when doing improv, active listening at all times. Improv was and is my absolute favorite type of performance, an improv performance. I love it. I knew that I was great at improv, and I had real confidence in that. But during auditions for scripted parts, a lot of times that feeling of being an imposter would creep right on in. I know a lot of y'all can understand that feeling, that imposter phenomenon, that imposter syndrome feeling. So why do we let that little voice, that voice saying, you'll never be as good as so-and-so, why do we let that throw us off or tell us who we are when we already know who we are and what we're capable of? That brings me to our quote of the week by EGOT. That's Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony winner, Viola Davis, from her New York Times bestselling book, Finding Me. She says, quote, I truly believe that the privilege of a lifetime is being who you are. Your ability to adapt to failure and navigate your way out of it absolutely 100% makes you who you are. There are no prerequisites to worthiness. You're born worthy, and I think that's a message a lot of women need to hear, end quote. Let those words land for a second. Reframe what worthiness is. Imposter syndrome tricks us into thinking we have to eliminate fear or the sneaky thought of being unworthy before we can move forward, before we believe we should get that promotion or direct that movie or start our own business. That we have to feel fully confident, completely prepared, and undeniably ready before we start creating, speaking up, or putting ourselves out there. But bravery, worthiness, isn't about feeling ready. It's about showing up anyway, creating anyway, taking the leap despite the voice in your head whispering doubts. Because we will fail at things, yes, but we first must try. We must try to be ourselves and know we are well equipped to pursue what's on our heart and what we know we're capable of now and what we'll grow into later. And when we do that, when we walk into the room, write the words, hit publish, or press record, even though we're scared, we're reclaiming our power from imposter syndrome. We're no longer waiting for someone else to crown us, quote unquote, legit. Okay, right? So let's dig into how to stop waiting to be ready and start creating now, even when imposter syndrome tries to sneak right on in. I'm giving you 4 research-backed ways to help knock that imposter syndrome right out of your life. But first, what's in my cup? Today, I'm sipping on a cold brew with vanilla sweet cream foam. The foam always makes it feel like a treat to me. I mean, drinking coffee is a daily treat that I highly enjoy, as you know. But that little foam on top of a cold brew, it just, elevates it to me. It just makes it feel like I'm on vacation. Not really, but it is a nice treat and I'm really enjoying it. So I hope your glass is full. Cheers. Let's get into it. All right. Before I give you a few strategies to help you with the imposter syndrome feeling and thoughts, let's talk about what imposter syndrome actually is. Imposter syndrome is the internal experience of believing that you're not as competent as others perceive you to be, even when there's evidence to the contrary. In 1978, psychologists Pauline Clance and Suzanne Imes first introduced the term imposter phenomenon and wrote about high-achieving women who often believed they were intellectual frauds. But here's the thing. This isn't just a mindset issue. It's a neurological and social pattern. Creatives often work in subjective, high-stakes environments, right? There's no clear roadmap, no test to pass, and success is often defined by perception. Research from the Journal of Behavioral Science shows that 70% of people experience imposter syndrome at some point in their lives. 70%. But creatives are especially vulnerable due to, let's say, lack of external validation, you know, until the work is released, identity fusion with the work, like if my work fails, I fail, and perfectionist tendencies, a hallmark trait according to Dr. Valerie Young's 5 types of imposters. Okay, let's zero in on a specific roadblock that imposter syndrome causes. You don't put your work out there. You delay launching, posting, pitching, submitting, or sharing because you're convinced someone will find out you're not legit. You're not the real deal. This keeps your momentum low, your confidence stuck, and your creative progress stalled. All right, now let's rewire that thinking using what science says actually works. And not just with a Pinterest quote and a good cry, though, I mean, no shame in either, but with real, grounded, science-backed strategies that you can carry with you into your creative work today. Number 1, name it to tame it. Imposter syndrome thrives in vagueness. It whispers things like, you're a fraud, or you're not good enough, but it never hands over hard evidence. That's because it doesn't have any. Psychologists call this affect labeling. The simple act of naming an emotion can decrease activity in the fear center of the brain and increase control in your decision-making center. So next time you feel like you're playing dress-up in your own career, say, oh, hey, you again. Thanks for your opinion, but I've got work to do. Here's the door. Bye-bye. Name the emotion. Number 2, celebrate progress, not perfection. One of the biggest lies imposter syndrome tells us is that our work has to be flawless to be valid. Right? Our work has to be flawless. We have to be flawless. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Carol Dweck's research on the growth mindset shows that people who believe they can improve through effort are more resilient and more creative. So instead of, I should be better at this by now, try, I'm growing, and that's the whole point. You're allowed to evolve. You're supposed to evolve. Also, a study published in Frontiers in Psychology on self-efficacy shows that tracking small wins improves confidence and motivation. Create a proof file where you collect testimonials, kind emails, kind messages on social media, screenshots of finished projects, notes about risks you took. Keep this file. Reviewing this reminds your brain that you do belong because your actions prove it. Number 3, get out of your head and into action. Overthinking is a creativity killer, right? Studies show that spending the same self-critical thoughts keeps us stuck, but action breaks the cycle. Not perfect action, just any action. Behavioral activation suggests that action itself rewires belief. Post the draft, share the sketch, hit record. One small step tells your brain, I am capable. Confidence follows action. Number four, anchor yourself in community. Imposter syndrome is loudest when you're alone. But here's the thing, you're not the only one who feels this way. As mentioned, 70% of people experience imposter syndrome. That includes the confident, successful, got it together people you admire. But community reminds you of who you are when you forget. It reflects your value back to you. Whether it's a creative circle, a coach, you're not doing this alone, and you don't have to. All right, there you have it. Just four little strategies that can help you kick that imposter syndrome out the door, right? These aren't overnight fixes. They're just practices. And like any practice, they get stronger the more you show up and use them. Not perfectly, but persistently. That brings me to what I'm learning. This week, I'm learning to take my time. I always want to rush things. You know, I even talk really fast and trying to take my time with my words as much as possible. But yes, I'm learning to take my time to just be in it and let things evolve without me rushing it. I'm taking my time with my work and within my day. This week's creative challenge is to eat a meal you've never tried before. Yes, I'm talking about food. It can be easy, like that weird snack at the market downtown you always wanted to try but skipped over it, or something a little fancy that you've always been curious about. Why, you ask? Because trying something new reminds you that you're not just surviving, you're exploring, you're alive, you're curious. And that curiosity is part of what makes you an incredible creator. If imposter syndrome's been your unwanted co-star, I hope today gave you some new lines to read from and a new perspective on how to tackle it and hopefully become free of it, right? But it's a daily practice to do that. And if this episode resonated, please hit follow, leave a review, and send it to your creative bestie. Remember, you don't need permission to create, you just need to start. Start today. Until next time, stay creative, be present, and remember the joys and the journey, and we're here to help you on yours. You got this. See you next week. This podcast is brought to you by The Happy Kind. Follow us on Instagram at Be Happy Kind and at Be Happy Kind Official, and also our show's podcast at Originate Now Podcast, and let us know how you're making time for creativity this week. Don't forget to hit follow and check out our show notes for free resources. Can't wait to see you next time.